disciples. We're disciple is apprentice, so we're all apprentices of Jesus, trying to learn from him and put this stuff into practice. I hope that's what you've been doing on the student weekend away. Or have you been learning how to do practical stuff? I'm sure you have. And all this is part of this, the GROW project, which we you've heard about, and we are looking to, through these 19, 20 modules, throughout the whole year, six this term, six next, six in the autumn, taking our time, not rushing, looking at the materials, the videos, the articles, etc., the scriptures, and processing this in our small groups midweek with our friends over the meal table, wherever it is, trying to go deeper in with our faith, trying to go deeper with God so he could speak to us and we would know what our destiny in him is. That's what we're trying to do this year. And both in the morning and in the evening. And in the evening, the last few weeks, we've been looking at how we start this process. It all depends on the call of God. You remember a few weeks ago that we're called to Christ, and then a couple of weeks ago, Tom called to serve, and then last week, Bryony called to the better life. Now we're going to move tack slightly for the next few weeks, and we're going to look at this word here, and it'll come up now. It's this word, transformation. Transformation. In a few weeks' time, we'll kind of do three weeks on this. A couple of weeks' time, we'll be looking at how we can, other people become transformed by God. But next week, how we get transformed. But today and tonight, I wanted to look at the bigger picture. I've no embarrassment about saying this is a big picture talk tonight. We're looking at where the heck are we going with this thing? And so we're looking at actually the call of God and the cause of God. He calls us for a reason, and the reason is this. This is why Jesus came. He came that we might be blessed with a good life and that we might kind of, you know, be happy in our lives, and he came that we may have eternal life after death and we don't fear death. But fundamentally, he came for this. He came for the transformation of our whole society. That's what he came for. Now, a former prime minister of ours, Margaret Thatcher, said there is no such thing as society. I personally believe she was incorrect. But I'm very happy to discuss with you at another time about that. I think personally she was incorrect on several things, but that's my personal opinion. There we go. So Jesus came actually to bring about a transformation of our whole society. Now, what I'd like you to do now, I've got a little thing, then talk to the person next to you. Now, there's different people of different ages in here tonight, so that worked fine. I want you to think of a piece of music or an artist, musical artist, who has inspired you over in your life. Maybe when you were younger, maybe recently, whenever it is. So I don't just mean like, oh, that was a cool tune, tapping your feet, but actually the music, the words, the lyrics or whatever, something has just done something in you and taken you beyond where you are at the moment. Do you get the picture? Okay, I'm just speaking for another 10, 15 seconds as a good communicator to let you process that. The worst thing you can do is to say, okay, think of a good tender person next to you now. You go, oh, I don't know. So just, I've given you time now to process that, haven't I? Okay. So, I'm going to show you some pictures on the screen, a couple of very short video clips in the next 15, 20 minutes before I finish. And I'm trying to do something. It's around this word inspire. The word inspire comes from a Latin word which means to breathe into, to inspire. It's a new breath. That's what it means. So when you're inspired, you like go, wow, I'm inspired by that, something different. And actually, fundamentally, Jesus came to transform society, but he came to inspire the people for something else. The Spirit comes to inspire us, the Holy Spirit. He does other things. He teaches and he does all kinds of stuff. But fundamentally, he breathes a new spirit into us. That's what the word actually means. So I want to take you back to, I think this will work here. Okay, now you guys here, youth church, put your hands up. Okay, I'm just going to come over to you in a minute. I'm going to go back. You've got to imagine now I'm your age. This is one of the guys. This is one of the singers I was listening to back in the day. Anybody know who that is? Me? Anybody know? Older people, who is it? Paul Simon. There we go, Paul Simon. Still playing music, doesn't look like that now. Okay, so I'm your age, back in the day. I'm living on a council estate in Sheffield. Small orbit of kind of life. People on a council estate basically stay on a council estate for the rest of their lives. Used to do back in the day. I escaped. I got under the wire one night and I escaped. And Tricia was my accomplice and she got me off the council estate. And then we ran off to Gretna Green and got married. No, that's a lie, but it sounds better than just the real story. But anyway, so I'm listening to, it was much more romantic than that, actually. I've just escaped from that. I'll press on, yeah. So I'm in my, I'm listening, I mean, seriously, I'm your age, and I'm listening to music, the kind of music you've been talking to each other about. This back in the day was, I mean, I did like Black Sabbath as well, but that's another story. I'm not going to go into that one. So I'm listening to these guys, and this guy was a poet of his time. He was, still is. He was what we would call prophetic. Some of the stuff he was doing was amazing. And I'm listening to this in my little, you know, bedroom in a council house and kind of a teenager. And actually, some of the stuff he was talking about inspired me. And he wrote songs. In fact, on one occasion, a few of us got together and we took a couple of his songs, Bridge Over Troubled Water and Sound of Silence. And actually, we did an assembly at school in front of 700 of our contemporaries and peers. And we asked the head if we could do it. By then, we were in the lower six. And we asked if he could do it. And he went, yeah, okay then. And so we did. And we put these two, he didn't know what we were going to do, put these two songs in. And it was so cool. I mean, the whole place came alive. It was amazing. People were weeping. They were falling on the floor. It was just an awesome assembly. And after we walked out, the head said, boy, it's in my room, my office. So I went to him thinking, oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to get real. Well done, boys. Very creative. He closed the door and he went, what the hell was that? And we went, whoa. We went, where was the hymn? There was no hymn. We always have a hymn at a school assembly. So we were totally non-inspired and deflated. Walked out. We were, okay, we had a Guinness that night in the pub, so we were fine. But anyway, I'm listening to this guy, and one of his songs really spoke to, lots of them spoke to me, and he wrote a song called Slip Sliding Away. Anybody ever heard of that song? Probably not. Don't worry about it. A few of you have. And this is one of the, some lines from it. We're working our jobs, we collect our pay, believe we're gliding down the highway when in fact we're slip sliding away. And actually that still speaks to people today. And you know, we kind of go to work, we get a salary. You see where this is going a bit. And yeah, get as much money as we can, get the best job we can, and we're getting somewhere. But deep down inside, we're not. We're just trundling along and slip sliding away. Going basically nowhere that something inside speaks to us about. We want to do something more than just do a job and earn some money. And that spoke to me then, it speaks to me now. And I mean, his music's amazing. I mean, you know, First Aid Kit and other people have done all his songs. He's still a prolific songwriter. And so I'm listening to this stuff at the time and thinking, wow. And it started a process in me. Music, if you want to know what's happening in culture, particularly with young people, listen to the music and watch the movies. They're the indicators what's happening. And so I'm your age, listening to this stuff, you know, getting told off for doing this creative assembly. And then I'm leaving school. And then 10 years later, I hear about a man called Jesus from friends who invite us around to their house. And I work with this guy. And what happens is the same kind of buttons pressed inside of me when I start to hear him speak about another kind of life. It's not just get up in the morning, go to work, a job I don't like anyway. Recent research shows that over in the US, 83% of people who work don't like their jobs. But they do it because they have to do it to earn money. And so I'm kind of messing around and toying with this stuff. And then I hear about this guy, Jesus, and start reading this, start reading the Bible. And it's a great book. And then I come across this passage we're going to look at now. Remember, Jesus came to transform society. And it's in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. So Jesus has been doing amazing things, beginning of Luke's gospel. He's going around in Galilee, he's doing amazing stuff. He's healing people and teaching about God. And then we read this. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So straight away, this man Jesus, you've got to remember, I'm reading this now. I'm in my 20s and I'm reading this stuff. 20s, that was about like 12 years ago. And I'm reading this stuff. Jesus is in the power of the Spirit. Remember that one. Power of the Spirit. Spirit, power, power, and Spirit. And news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, their churches, basically, and everyone praised him. So people are becoming inspired by him. A great speaker, a great communicator. One of the issues in the church today is there are no great inspiring teachers and communicators. The guy you listened to this weekend is one of them. He's great. They're very few and far between. As they used to say, they're like hen's teeth. There aren't many around, you see. So this is one of them, Jesus. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. So he goes in church. Hey, Jesus, welcome back. Do you want to read the Bible? Do you want to read the scriptures today? Yeah, I'll read it. Give him the prophet Isaiah, opens the scroll up, and then he reads this. Now this, I'm in my 20s, hits me like an express train. Bam! And stuff stirs up in me. In my mid-20s, mid to late 20s, all stirring up in me. All the music I've been listening to, all this stuff about, it's not just about getting a job and earning money. This, you were made for more, Mick. You were made for more. And then I read this. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Spirit, again, on me. The Spirit's on me, on him, because he has anointed me, authorized me, appointed me. And I wonder if you ever feel that the Spirit of God is on you and has authorized you to do something. If not, you really do need to come to the foot of the cross and ask for that, because that's why we're here. Let's move on. Five great things. Remember, I'm reading this. It's like, wow, this is what it's all about. To proclaim good news to the poor. The word poor there in the original means destitute. Beggars, it means. It's not just poor, it means absolute beggars. Nothing in their life, physical or spiritual in their life. Has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners, those who are bound by their past or their history or whatever it is. Recovery of sight for the blind. Physical, yes, but people who have no direction in life. Where am I going? To set the oppressed free. And the word oppressed in the original there means shattered into absolute pieces. And so Jesus has come to set free these people who are just in pieces. Their life is just shattered. And to say this, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which basically means, hey, God loves you. Never forget it. So I'm reading that, thinking, wow, that's what it's about. That's why he came. It's not just a religious service on a Sunday. There's something bigger involved here. Scripture goes on. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Then he sat down. Okay. Now, this is what's not happening there. This guy, Jesus, stands up and goes, okay, listen now. I've got this amazing, amazing new teaching now. Incredible new teaching. Listen to it. Bam. It's like me standing up and saying, hey, everyone, at the evening gathering, I've got this extraordinary teaching. You've not heard this before. This is amazing. And this is it. Listen. Listen carefully now. Listen. Listen. Wake him up next to you. Wait. Listen. Got to listen. This is it. Okay. Are you ready? Here it comes. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. And you'd all go, where's the new teaching? We know it's the Lord's Prayer. That's what these guys are going, what do you mean? It's Isaiah 61. We hear this all the time. Where's the new stuff? And Jesus basically saying, you know it, you just don't do anything with it. You know it, but you're not doing anything with it. I read this and I was profoundly and deeply moved by it. That was the cause that we were called to. Now, I'm going to move on. Remember that bit. Transforming society. Here's the reason that we need to get behind this. We have to know the cause we call to, and it's not just personal salvation. It's to transform our society. What does that look like? Who's this? Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington is a Christian, very strong Christian man, and some of the things he said, he went on to say other things there, but I love that little clip. I found it inspiring because he's talking to young filmmakers, young actors, and he's saying, never give up, press on. Keep pressing on to your goal, to the thing that God's destined you to do and the thing that God has destined you to be. And I think one of the things I loved what he said was this, without commitment, you never start, but without consistency, you never finish. It's really important we hear that, because that's the word, that's Jesus. Unless you have a commitment, you'll never start anything. Unless you're committed to revision for your exams, you're never going to start revision. But unless you've got a consistency in your revision, you're never going to finish it. It's the same with anything in life, isn't it? Unless you're committed to a relationship, you're never going to start one. But unless you are consistent in your relationships, you're never going to finish one. You're just going to drift off to the next thing. So profound, that truth he said there. He said something else as well, not on that clip, it was later on. He said that successful people work hard. If you see any successful person, they work hard. Hard work is part of this commitment to do the things that we've been called to do. These are, I think, really important truths, which I think come out of his life, but out of his faith as well. Another thing he said was this, don't just make a living, make a difference. Do you not like that? Don't just make a living. In a world today where it's all about making a living and making a lot of money, yeah, if you can do that, fine, but make a difference with what you've got. Let's make a difference with what we've got. And I love this final. I just love this, so I'll put it on the screen. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. What is the biggest threat to transforming our society today? It's not the hardship that we suffer as the church, it's the ease that we live in. It's just so easy. It's not the hardship, it's the comfort place we're in. I love, and he was very true, ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. Let's just move on. I want to keep going with this one. So, we know the cause. If we know the cause, which is to transform society, the next thing is we need to count the cost. Question. Who's this? Correct again, Martin Luther King. Another one of my great heroes of the faith. The thing with Martin Luther King was, with his brokenness, and he was, on his own admission, he was a sinful man, did some not good stuff. But actually, he knew the cause God called him to transform society in America, in the South. Trust me, I've been there. Trish and I have been there in the South. It's still bad. It's still racist. But it's way better than it would have been without this guy. Way better. And others like him. So he knew the cause, but he was willing to count the cost. And actually, we need to consider, why is this land of ours not, Why does the gospel impact it as much as it should? Because I think sometimes we just don't know what the cause is. Because nobody's telling us the cause is to transform society, not just ourselves. And the cost will be whatever it is for you. And he said this, Martin Luther King, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. And so when we see things in our society which are wrong, we have to say something. We have to stand up and speak. If you see things in your school which are not right, whoops, you need to speak about it. In your universities, the liberalization of our culture in many ways has been a good thing for our nation and for the West. But in many other ways, it's not been a good thing. Liberalization takes away often boundaries and frameworks. And we all need some boundaries and frameworks. If not, it's chaos. It's chaos. And so when he says our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter, that's when we go into our little bubble and we just do our own thing. And we're not part of a larger group. He said this as well. He said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And that's been my life and Trisha's life. Now, I was thinking just on this today that has there been a cost to us in our faith? Yes, there has. It's not we've not had to give our lives up. But there's been a cost to us and our family, moving around the country, moving from house to house, you know, several churches, all this kind of stuff. It's a cost. It's difficult, but that has been the call of God for me and Trisha and the cause of transforming society through that vehicle. That's the best we can ascertain. But for you, what is it for you here tonight? So in your schools, I'm absolutely delighted, we've been hearing from Liam, that schools now, some of you guys are starting Christian unions. Do it. And if you think people are going to think I'm a wimp or a, so what? So what? It won't cost you your life. It might cost some of your reputation. So what? Might cost you some of your so-called friends. So what? If you have that spirit within you, if you are stirred by this, then go to your staff, go to your teachers, go to your whatever it is and say, we want to start a Christian union. Why don't you go and say, we want higher tool, we want shine in our school. Other schools have got it, why can't we have it? I'm inspired when at Hallam we started a church on campus. Can't have that now, apparently, you know, it wasn't really the dumb thing. There was political shenanigans going on. But anyway, we finished up with Alpha on campus. It's great. 21 there last time. There's a cost to that. Here's the other thing. All you need is a little bit of faith. Why don't we start one on Sheffield? Why is it just on Hallam? Where are the Sheffield guys? Start a... I know you've had a great weekend, but I mean this in great love. Get off your backsides and do something. Somebody, somewhere has to do something. Thank you. We have to know the cause. We have to count the cost, whatever that is. But I'm only here for 3 years, Mick. 3 amazing years, that'd be. If you can see both universities transformed. But it's difficult because Christians are seen as a minority. Get over it. Ask God to convert hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students, then you'll be less of a minority. In our workplaces, count the cost. We just need a little bit of faith. We don't need to see the whole staircase. Just a little bit of faith to take the first step. How can my workplace be transformed? Here's one to go. I'm going to finish that. Here's one to go away with. You may be one of the people who go to work and think, I don't really like my job. I work at my job. I collect my pay. Think I'm gliding down the highway, but I'm just slip-sliding away. I don't really like my job. I just go, have to do it, I get on with my colleagues, and that's it. Why not tonight ask God to transform the way you see your job? And go in tomorrow and say, this is the job that Jesus has given me to do. I'm going to count. This is the cause he's given me. My school staff room. my office, my colleagues, my checkout job in a supermarket, whatever it is. If we had a transformation of our minds and said, this is not just a job, this is a vocation, a calling that God has given me. And when I go in the morning, I want to say a prayer, and it's as if I am one of the guys Denzel Washington was talking about, a filmmaker, an artist, a creative. We're no different, you see. The creative types are creative. You in your job are just the same because it's still a vocation God's given you. And you know what? I can't do it now. But when you read the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, that's the whole thing. That's the whole point of the exercise. We were, human beings were made to have dominion over the earth, to work. That's what we're supposed to do. And in that work, that God would touch the earth. Everything we put our hands to would be touched by the Spirit of God. Now that, even every tin you take off a supermarket shelf is ordained and anointed by God when you put it on another shelf, if you are a follower of his. Our whole demeanor changes when we do that. Let me move on, finish now. So, I put that up to finish with, because you may think you can't do this, but it only takes one. Bum, and they all start to move. It just takes one to move slightly, and they all start to move. That's how society changes. And finish at SDC here, we've got this year, there's the old way. It's the old way of being a Christian, of coming to church on a Sunday and keen ones doing a bit of Bible study in the week. It's failed because nobody comes to church anymore. Stop press. How many Christians are at uni? Very few. And I'm sorry because our generation screwed it up big time for you guys. We made a right pig's ear of the whole thing because we retreated to our little churches and lift the drawbridge up and think, well, we'll leave it to UCCF. They'll sort it out. God bless them if they haven't. The same with our schools. I'm really sorry when we should have been in there doing Christian assemblies and we didn't because it was tough to go in there. And so in the end, nobody does Christian assemblies. Nobody wants to do them anymore. And I'm really sorry that my generation and those followed messed it up in schools because you should have a Christian tradition in your schools and in the universities. But there's a new way, and it starts this year. Because we are disciples, and we have this truth. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. It's on me, and it's on you, if you want that. And that's the way we're going to go forward this year. Because if we do that, if we know the course, count the cost, I guarantee you we will see the change. Now, skip through that. I've missed some stuff out because I want to finish now, just over time. I'm going to ask the band out. This is what we're going to do now. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to recommit myself tonight to this cause. And if you want to stand with me, I'm going to ask you to come out. We're going to pray. We're going to pray that Jesus would hear our prayer and use us in whatever way he wants. Next week, we'll look at personal transformation and helping others know Jesus. But actually, unless we've gone in our heads, the culture itself needs to change. But make it impossible. How can we change it? One little ball hits the rest. And they all go, bop, 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 bop. And then they go, bop, 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 bop. And it all starts to change. If we understand the cause God's laid upon us, we count the cost, we will see the change. Some of you can sit in your chairs, and that's absolutely fine. I'm talking to the people who, when I listened to Paul Simon all those years ago, I thought, this is it. Then I read Jesus in my 20s, I thought, this is it. If that's you, come and stand with me because I'm going to commit myself afresh.